using Big Rock Telluride Inside and Out. I'm speaking once again with Dr. Paul Hochmeier. You know him as a regular contributor to Dr. Oz. He's on CNN. He writes articles for Cosmo, the New York Times. And his answers to a series of questions posed by Woman's Day became part of a series called How to Conquer Your 10 Biggest Relationship Fears. That series is now online. Again, it's Woman's Day. And we are discussing now the subject of relationships and vice when addiction strikes at the heart of a marriage. Dr. Paul, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me back.
So, how do you distinguish between addictive behavior and a simple aberration?
Well, basically two things that I look at. The first is, how is it impacting your quantitative and qualitative aspects of your life? And I know that sounds a little highfalutin. So quantitatively, is it impacting your checkbook? Is it impacting your ability to show up for work? Qualitatively, how is it impacting your relationships? Are your relationships suffering? Are people complaining that you're not around as much, or you're not around in a way that they want you to be around? So it's really a two-pronged analysis.
Okay. Talk about binge drinking as an example of the above.
So binge drinking, we know, happens a lot on college campuses, and binge drinking is having five or more drinks in one setting. You know, some people can binge drink like once a year or once a month. Some people tend to binge drink like every weekend. So it really depends on the frequency of the binges, and again, it depends on what you do during and after those binges. So do you have a personality change? Do you become a person who you're normally not? Do you say stupid things? Do you get into fights? Do you lose the keys to your car? Do you forget to pick up your kids from school? Do you do a whole host of things that you normally wouldn't do, subtle changes, or do you do like one major thing that's so far out of your personality that it should serve as a wake-up call and tell you that you're in a realm that's pretty dangerous for you?
Is one of the techniques I've heard you talk about is establishing consequences for this sort of addictive behavior. Would you talk about that in the context of binge drinking?
So consequences are what really makes people take a hard look at what they're doing and look at the reality of the situation. Consequences in terms of a binge drinking would be, say, you set out to, I'm only going to stay out until 10 o'clock and I'm only going to spend $50. 2 o'clock in the morning and $300 later, you know, you're wondering what happened to you and you've woken up with a hangover, kind of not remembering what you did the night before, how the night got away from you. That's a consequence of binge drinking.
And establishing consequences for binge drinking within the context of marriage, what might some of those parameters be?
So, for instance, it's important. I'm a big believer in boundaries in relationships. And so if your spouse sets off, so it's Friday afternoon and your spouse has been working all week and they said, you know, I'm just going to meet up with the guys for a couple beers. I'll be home by 8 o'clock. And midnight rolls around and he's not home and he comes stumbling in the door at 2 o'clock. You know, consequences that the next day you're not going to pick up after him. You're not going to make him breakfast. You're not going to cover for him, make excuses for him. You're going to enable him to, you're going to allow him to feel the consequences of his behavior without not tampering, but upholstering it in a way that he doesn't fully feel the consequences of his behavior.
I've heard you talk about, for example, agreeing to abstain from alcohol for a period of time or agreeing to a certain number of AA meetings.
That's one way to go about doing it. I mean, if there's a pattern of behavior where people continue to set boundaries and then blow through them when drinking or drugs are involved in the situation, then it's important to put into place some what we call new interventions, which are basically things that are outside the realm of normal that you would normally do. So you go to an AA meeting to take a look, to get a different perspective on your drinking, abstain from drinking for a period of time, and really be an observer in your life. Pretend like you're a reporter who's doing an investigative report on what is it like for me not to drink for a month, and what does it feel like when I go into a social situation, or what does it feel like when I go on a date or when it's time to have sex and I don't have alcohol, and, you know, look at it as an investigative reporter and track how you feel and pay more attention to what the alcohol is doing for you or not doing for you.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful ideas. Now, what if the vice that's affecting the relationship is internet porn?
Well, we see a lot of that. I mean, there's a huge amount of internet porn. And so I find, particularly in my practice, I'm based in New York City, there's a huge connection now between alcohol, drugs, and sex, and in particular, internet porn. And so there's nothing wrong with using internet porn from time to time as an enhancement for your sexual life. When your ability to have sex, achieve an orgasm, get an erection, become stimulated, depends upon you having internet porn in the room with you, then that's an unhealthy dependence, because basically what you're doing is you're depending on that as opposed to the intimate connection that you should be having with your sexual, real-life sexual partner.
So if you come to understand that your spouse is really cheating on you virtually, at what point do you just say, we've got to go to therapy? I mean, it's beyond the point of conversation. How persistent is this addiction have to be for you to suggest, let's just call it a spade and go to therapy?
Well, I hope it doesn't take long. I mean, I think that basically if it's upsetting you and you're feeling violated, you're feeling like the integrity of your relationship is being compromised, then by all means go to therapy and have a conversation about it, even if you just go for 50 minutes and just say, here's the deal, this is my reality, I need to have a space where I can talk about this in a safe, contained way. It's well worth the investment. Certainly don't deny that it exists and don't rationalize it away, because basically what's going to happen is you're going to be resentful and angry, and that's just going to fester and come out in sideways and destructive ways. So if you find that it's happening and it's a surprise and you have a conversation about it and you don't get satisfactory answers, or you find that it continues in a way that makes you uncomfortable, then by all means, get help.
So suppose let's characterize the party who is not addicted to internet porn as the innocent party. Okay, suppose the innocent party goes to therapy, but the person who is addicted refuses and denies they have an addiction.
Well, you know, it's interesting. People always say that question, do both parties in a relationship need to be in therapy? Do all family members need to be in family therapy? And I don't agree with that. I mean, I don't think that they do. I basically think that if you approach your work systemically, which is the way that I do, in a relational way, if you have two people in a relationship and one person changes, the other person has to change. It's inevitable. So I think it's entirely appropriate for I frequently see one parent, for instance, and maybe the rest of the family isn't ready to come to treatment, or one spouse when the other spouse isn't willing to come to treatment. So, but if you enable that person to change and give them an insight and some tools, the entire system will change as a result of it.
Wonderful. And is your advice any different if the addiction is gambling?
Well, gambling can be a lot more dicey, because, you know, you're dealing with some people bankrupt the house, bankrupt the family. I mean, blow through huge amounts of money. So it's an analysis that has to happen in terms of the danger that's involved and the risk that's being involved, and the potential harm that can be that can occur to the relationship or to the family. So the urgency of it, I think, is more important, and I would encourage, and I typically encourage in terms of gambling, you know, harder, clearer, more firm boundaries.
Wonderful. thank you very, very much. Again, this has been Susan B. Brock of Telluride Inside and Out, speaking with Dr. Paul Hochmeyer. We are reviewing a series that he developed for Women's Day, which is How to Conquer Your 10 Biggest Relationship Fears. That series is now online, as obviously are these interviews. Thank you, Dr. Paul, for joining me.
Thank you, Susan.